We do indeed express our hosanna to you this morning. Thank you that we can collectively be here in freedom on a beautiful day to worship together, to lift ourselves before you, and to seek your face and a word from you today that will bless us, encourage us, strengthen us, and deepen our walk with you. So, Lord, thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks for being here this morning. Long weekend, eh? Wow. Nice long weekend. You know, how many times do you have a May 24th weekend that is this nice? Okay. Can I just say that I think there's a crown in heaven for you just for being here right now? Right here, that you didn't opt out to do the garden or get away or anything like that. So I think, can we just bless you guys this morning for being here? Nice to hear. But I do want to give a shout out to those who are going to be listening online. Welcome. You know, I hope you had a good long weekend because you missed the real deal. Okay? Anyway, so I'll give you a shout out on all that kind of stuff. God, let me ask you a question this morning as we continue our series on community builders. How many of you, if I was to ask you personally and ask you this question, is there a habit that if you adopted or a habit that you gave up or something like that, that would make your life better or would make you as a person better? Most of you would probably be able to say, yeah, there's a habit in my life or there's something in my life that I know that if I adopted or if I stopped doing it or whatever, if I doubled up on this, it would definitely make my life better. It would definitely make me a better person. You know, what is true for you individually is true for a church as well. I really, in this series, we're talking about a number of habits that Jesus and the gospel writers and other writers of the New Testament brought to the forefront of what it means to be a church. You know, last week we talked about unity, and we didn't talk about just unity in the sense of all of us getting together. That unity had to be built on this thing that we called love, and we talked a little bit about what shapes that love, what that love should look like. And if you missed it, just go back to last week's message and hear that message. But unity is really important. And I'll tell you something, a lot of people, this came up in life groups. A lot of people said to me, well, what about denominations? There's this misconception, by the way, that just because we have denominations means we don't have unity. That is really not true, if I could say that. That's a wrong, you hear people say, you have all these denominations. That's not a healthy way to view the world that we live in, the denominations that we live in. God is too big for us to be able to embrace him in just one dimension. Can I say that? There are so many denominations. You know, again, we talked about the type of things that we need to be unified about. You know, if Jesus is the center without going through all of last week's message. But denominations are not necessarily a bad thing. So we have to be really, it's a little bit like saying, I hate hockey because there's more than one team. You know what I mean? Like you would never say that. I know you're playing against each other, but God is too big for us to embrace, on our own to the full depth and breadth of what God is. So we need to be really careful when we talk about denominations in a negative way, okay? And again, I know I'm going to get emails over that one. So anyway, but what we're talking about today is equally as important in many ways. Statistically, if you ask church people, is your church friendly? You know what most people say? Yes, it is. Do you know that when they survey people who are first-time visitors, you know what they say? No, it's not. Okay, there's a real disparity between what people feel their church is friendly to people who are first-time visitors. And we're talking about hospitality this morning. Did you know that we recently lost a family who had been coming here for a number of months because nobody talked to them? Now, I don't know about you, but as a pastor who gets an email like that saying, we have to leave the church because nobody talked to us, I have no recourse. There's very little that I can say other than I'm sorry. Other than, I'm sorry. So, you know, this whole business of hospitality is what I want to talk about today. And here's the other thing about hospitality. Most of you, when I say hospitality, the first thing you're thinking is I've got to invite people into my home and have dinner. Can you just get that out of your head right now? Because that's not what we're going to talk about. Even though that's a good thing, even though if you're wired that way, or if that's you know, the gift that God has given you, that's perfectly okay. But we're going to go back a little bit to some very basic ideas about hospitality, that there's something we need to be doing. You see, what I believe is that you're never going to get to the dinner stage if you don't get past an initial stage first and foremost. There's something even more important. And we're gonna give you a whole bunch of stats and stuff like that to look at when we talk about hospitality. And I do want to look at a couple of passages. There's lots of passages in the Bible about hospitality, but I want us to look at a couple. First one comes out of Romans 12:13. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. I think the Message version says be inventive in showing hospitality. You see, in the ancient world, at the time of this writing, there's no Holiday Inns across the globe at that time. Like, people are traveling all the time. And what is surprising to us as believers is that there was much missionary movement in the early church. There's people going from town to town proclaiming the gospel, talking about Jesus, talking about the resurrection. People were so excited about what it was that people started moving out, that disciples themselves started moving out. And when people got to a town, there's no such thing as kind of lodging and a place to stay. So when they fellowshipped with another believer, there was this concept that you had to take care of them. They had no place to stay. They had no place to eat. And we're talking about a culture that valued hospitality. How many of you have come from a culture that if you didn't eat what was on your plate, it was an insult to those people? Okay. Right? We're all nodding our heads because we've all been there. Okay. Hospitality is a really... surprises me, we're talking about a culture that valued hospitality just as a culture, and then as believers, we are told to value hospitality. So you know it's a notch up from what the culture itself worshipped and took care of. So it was there was this practical element to hospitality. It was very real. And the comfort that it gave a person who was going out to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to know that wherever they went, they were going to be taken care of by other believers. Here's one of my favorite hospitality passages this night. Hebrews 13:2. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. I have no idea what that means. Actually, in the book of Hebrews, this is alluding back, I think it's Genesis 18, where Abraham showed hospitality to three men, and the three men was God himself and two other angels. It's a fascinating story. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is alluding back to, that there was a time that in Abraham's life that he entertained actual angels with his hospitality. And he gives it as a present reality. Now, I don't know about you, but this kind of is this a test for us? Would God send an angel into our midst to test us whether or not we are hospitable to the people that are around us? I would not put it past God to test us in this particular way, to bring an angel into our lives. And yeah, you know, I know for some of us, you know, this void between heaven and earth and all that stuff, I believe very much that there's something going on much, much, much more than what we assume. That there's something going on in the heavenlies, something happening in the spiritual realm that we have very little idea about right now. If God gave us spiritual eyes, even what's going on in this room, I think it would shock us. I think it would absolutely shock us. So that's where my belief is. So it's probably a test of God. But do you know the Greek word hospitality is a really cool word? Do you know it joins the word philo, which is love, and xeno, which is stranger, and it means love of strangers. Did you know that that's how the Greek word is put together? It definitely states that we are to love strangers. That's what hospitality in Greek means, okay? So it's very, very important as a church to understand why hospitality is such a key part of God's plan for his church. And when we talk about hospitality, we are talking about acting gracefully to a stranger. That we have to understand it's a graceful act to someone we don't necessarily know. Now, here, I want to give us, we're going to have a little bit, hopefully we're going to have a little bit of fun this morning. I want to give you three hospitality fails that every church does, okay? Number one is this, not saying hi. Seriously, say hi.
Hi.
Thank you. You guys are keeners this morning. This is really, I was going to actually test you on whether you could all say hi, and you all, like, you jumped ahead of me. But it's amazing to me how many times people said, no one spoke to me. No one even said hi to me. If you walk in the doors of a church, nod your head, do something. You know, say hi. You know, it's so important. And you know what? I know it's not for everyone. I know not everyone's absolutely comfortable with this. But for those of you that are comfortable, do it. Please, just do it. You have no idea a welcoming presence, what it does to a church. For people to feel that they're part of something is really, really important. Here's the second hospitality hack. Making people uncomfortable. Making people uncomfortable. I remember a few years back, there was a new church that was starting up, and I remember I went to, I think, their initial service. I'm pretty sure it was initial service. And it was a new church, and they were putting name tags on everybody that walked in the door. Now, I can't tell you how that just bothers me. Listen, that's just that's just a hospitality fail right there, okay? Where you're putting name tags on everybody. I can understand the ushers, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I remember saying to the person at the door, saying, I ain't putting that on. You know what the person said to me? I have to? Oh, that would have been worse. No, but the person actually said to me, fine, we'll call you whatever we want then. we don't want you here at all, right? I was so uncomfortable. And then, you know what happened too? Then I got really uncomfortable because I'm the only dude without a name tag. Right? And it's like, do you realize what you're creating? And listen, church people don't get this very often. If you've been in the church a long time, you have no idea how uncomfortable you're making other people. Sorry. It's just the deal. You have to have certain eyes to realize just how uncomfortable people get. I didn't know when to stand up, didn't know when to sit down, didn't know when to kneel, didn't know what was going on, didn't know, is it Brent or is that Jennifer on the Friday and Saturday? Sorry, Brent. do you know what I mean? People who are coming into a place hate to feel uncomfortable, hate to feel like they're not part of the larger group. It's the kind of eyes we have to have when we've been in the church a long time. You know, you get so comfortable, you know, the bathroom's always like that, or, you know, the backyard's always like that, or the fronts always look like that. That's always fallen apart. Like, you know, you get so used to things, all right? How many times have you recommended a restaurant and you said, but you're going to have to get past the building, but once you get to the food, you're okay? Do you know how many people can't get past the building? All right, so you have to be very, very careful, you know, Here's my favorite. Number three, are you new here? That is the last question you should ever ask anybody, even if they are new. You know what? Okay. Please take this with a little bit of comedy behind it. It's like meeting a woman for the very first time and asking when she's due. Okay? All right? It's not a good question. There's lots of other better questions, you know? And put the onus on yourself. I don't believe we've ever met. That's a much better question. But the worst is, you know how many times you ask somebody, are you new here? Oh, I've been coming for a number of, you know, right away. You know, you just created this. Sorry. Okay? Are you new here? Should be banished from your vocabulary, okay? Don't ever, you know. So how do we become a church that operates better hospitality? And you'll learn in a minute why this is so important. This is really, really important. Here are becoming a church of open doors. I'm going to give you six hospitality keys. Number one, we need to recognize we have more guests in a year than we realized. Okay? Do you know that statistically we see, you know, 5 to 8% new people in the church every week? Okay. Most churches see a 5 to 8% amount of new people in the church every week. Do you know over the course of a year, based on the size of our church, that's almost 600 people a year? Think about that. I'm hoping that just stunned you, right? That's a lot of people over the course of a year. Do you imagine if only 10% stayed? You imagine 20% stayed? What difference would it make to our budget? What difference would it make to reaching the people with the gospel? What difference would it make in our volunteers? What difference would it make? And to think that most of them don't stay because they don't feel like there's a home here. See, that's the first hospitality hack, is to realize just how many new people we have. You know, I know we're two services. I don't know how many times in a leadership meeting or something I hear people say, they'll mention a name. I have no idea who that person is. Okay? You know, the church is kind of, you know, all over the place with this, but you have to recognize that we have more new people showing up than the same as most churches, but not everybody stays. So that's not a very good thing. Okay? Hospitality is our first step to engaging people into a community that we want them to be a part of. Just say hi. All right? Number two, right? They represent needs that we can meet. Okay, remember last week we said there are three primary reasons people seek out a church. Why would anybody want to bother with a church anymore? Right? They're looking for help, they're looking for a home, or they're looking for hope. Those are the three things that allow, that make people seek out a church. Those are the three things that they're looking for. And if we're not a church that is helpful, if we're not a church that you know, can be a home for them, if we're not a church that can bring hope to them, why would they stay? Why would they stay? Okay? Now, I know a lot of people, okay, all right, don't hate me for this, right? I don't like the church being a place as a hospital. I don't like that picture, because what happens with people at a hospital, they leave when they get better. Okay, that's why I don't like that picture, because what you find, most people who are in absolute distress will get engaged in the church, but when they get better, they leave. What we want to do is get them the help they need, but give them a home and then have them live with hope within the community they are a part of. Okay. People are meant to grow deeper in their relationship, not just get healed and walk away. All right? So don't hate me for that. They represent needs that we can meet. That's why people seek out a church. And they may be church people over a long period of time, but they're looking for a new home. And they need to feel, and especially, they're probably the worst, okay? Because they've been used to a place with lots of familiar faces, lots of familiar systems, lots of familiar, you know, music, everything. They're comfortable with their situation. And do you know how hard it is for people to find a new church? I would personally dread it if I had to do it. Seriously. And it's even worse when, you know, you're in my shoes as a pastor. Because you see everything. Nothing, you know, you become the ultimate critic. I would hate to look for a new church. I'd just hate it. In fact, I think I'd have to move out of town. Okay? I don't know why this is about me all of a sudden. Anyway. Okay. All right. But the representative needs to be, guests assess quickly if they're coming back. Do you know what is it that most of us think when it comes to visitors that they're going to assess right away? We always say the music and the message, right? Those are the two things that people will assess right away. They'll come back. But do you know that people will determine whether or not they're, what's the matter?
Coffee.
Oh, yeah, coffee helps. Right? How soon do you think, within coming into a building, do people assess whether they're coming back or not? 11 minutes, actually. You said 10 minutes, very close. Do you know, within 11 minutes, people will know if they're going to come back or not. 11 minutes. They haven't even gotten to the music yet. They haven't, you know, they've just been looking at the parking lot, looking at the building, and met the ushers and the greeters. That's the extent of it, in that 11 minutes. Okay? They haven't even gotten to the message. They haven't even gotten to the music or anything like that. They've assessed already whether they're going to have a warm and fuzzy here or not. So it is vitally important that the first face they see is a face at least going to say, hi. You guys are really good. Really good. Okay? So that's how quickly they assess whether they're coming back. Here's number five. Employ, engage, and connect. You know, some of us can do this really, really naturally, right? You're going to engage with certain people, and we're not talking weather stuff. You know, where are you from? Why? You know, what made you want to come to? You know, are you from London? All this kind of stuff. Here's another thing that's really, really, really helpful. Oh, you work where? Oh, you do what? Let me introduce you to so and so. That is one way that make people connect right away. Oh, you're a teacher? Guess what? Come over to this section. They're all teachers. They're like, you know? And here's the spouse of a teacher. You need to meet this person. You know what? Engage and connect, right? It's just not you, right? If you can connect them to somebody else that has similar interests, similar desires, similar kind of life situation, that says a lot to a person. One thing that people do not want to feel in a church is all alone. Is all alone. They don't want to feel all alone. Okay? They may want to sit alone. Doesn't necessarily mean that they feel alone. All right? Okay, engage and connect. This next one is really, a guest may represent years of preparation. You know, I'll be really honest with you. One of the most uncomfortable things that happen for me as a pastor is when I'm at the door or something and a family walks in and I'm familiar with the family, been coming to the church a long time, and they'll say, oh, here is my sister or my brother. We've been praying for them to come to church for years. And you go, oh, God, please, may they connect with somebody. Please, may they find it friendly. Please, Lord, may that, you know, I can't tell you how that takes me to prayer immediately. Because in one service, it could unravel, you know, years of people praying for someone to come and enjoy church. Because for many of them, it's the next step in bringing them to faith in Jesus Christ. And when we don't do that well, or when we miss it, or when we don't, you know, that is so, so hard. And all polite Canadians will say out the door, yep, I really enjoyed it. Or the word you don't want to hear, it was fine. It was fine. Right? A lot of times I'll test them and say, what were the three points of the sermon? No. Right. That way I know it was good. Allie's going, no, don't ever do that. Yeah. Okay? But this is why it's so important. You do not know how many years of involvement it may have taken for somebody just to get them to the door. Hospitality is often the initial, you know, kind of principle that we have to engage them in a way that make them feel like there's value here for them. And they feel like it's something worthy of them to be a part of. Okay, number six, guests represent the first step in the Great Commission. You know, we talk about being all about the Great Commission, and we talk about, you know, sending, you know, money to missions, and we get all about, you know, the missionary movement and all that stuff. When we have people, 5 to 8%, coming in the church that are great, our guests. Okay? And by the way, I hate the word visitor. I think visitors should be banned from the church, period. People are not visitors, they're guests. That if you're a person who's been in the church for a long time, never call a person a visitor, because it implies they're just here for now and they're going. They're all guests, and you should treat them as guests, because that's what hospitality is all about. And when you treat a person like a guest, it makes them want to come back. You know, there's places in Europe. It's not that we're there all the time, but I can tell you which hotels we're going to stay at because of the way we got treated, or what we're comfortable with. There's all that kind of, you know. And even if they swing here once a year, they're going to come to this church. Why? Because they got treated like a guest, not a visitor. That's a big mind shift for each and every one of us. Should never use the word visitor in the church, as far as I'm concerned. Okay? But it's the first step of the Great Commission. We have people actually coming in the door, and if you're not engaging them in the Great Commission, why are we even bothering with missions? If we can't do it on our own, in our own home, if we can't do it, why would we expect sending a check across the river, across, you know, the ocean, to do it any better if we can't do it? Okay, right? It's the first step in the Great Commission. I found this statement, or this blessing from a traditional greeting to the guests among the Bedouin people of the Middle East, and they still say this today. You are among your family. That is the way they greet absolute strangers. You are among your family. And right away, you can imagine how that eases people's anxiety about who and what they're doing. Okay? The church is a family that expects guests. If we're not expecting guests, then something is wrong with our Great Commission vision, our Great Commission desire. Okay? All right, as I close out this morning, let me read this illustration. We've all been to the Apple Store, okay? Okay, we've all been to the... I've been to the Apple Store, all right? Do you know that the first one opened in 2001, okay? At a time when there was no iPod, there was no iPhone, and 97% of people in the U.S., we're on dial-up internet. For every 100 people who visited the store, only one person bought. Most people who walked through the glass doors in 2001 didn't even own a single Apple product. And the team at Apple were totally comfortable with that, because they knew that if they got it right, success would come off the back of becoming meaningful to other people. That success took a few years to arrive because people at first didn't understand the store's genius bar. But eventually, Apple stores became the most successful retail concept of all time. Did you know that? That the way that they set up those stores. Ron Johnson, the former vice president of retail at Apple, the guy that started the Apple store concept, said, "People really love our stores because we're more than a store. We're more than a store. We are a place to belong." That's what's made Starbucks so successful. That's what made all these businesses so successful, is a place to belong. Listen, we have moved from a knowledge-based society to experience-based society. We've moved in that direction. You've got corporations that are talking about building families as a business. I joked about Costco last week, and you guys were about to lynch me. And yet, here's what business understands that the church, in my estimation, has forgotten. That when we build an environment of hospitality, when we build an environment that is inviting, when we build an environment that says to people, "Hey, we've been expecting you, and we're glad you're here." Do you know what a difference that makes for a church? Do you know what difference it makes to a church? You see, all I want you to do, all I want you to do is just say hi. Is just say hi. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the hospitality that believers have experienced and enjoyed for centuries. And yet, Lord, we can get so comfortable with our four no more that we can forget that there are others looking in. That there are people in this world who want a community to be a part of, a family to be a part of, a place where they can get help, a place where they can get hope. But so often they have trouble just getting the feeling of being part of a family because no one ever talks to them. No one ever says hi. No one ever engages them. They never seem to connect. And yet for those of us who have been part of the church for a long time, we kind of shrug our shoulders and we say, "Man, it's so easy. What's their problem?" But Lord, maybe it takes us to realize that we need to take the first step forward, that we need to extend the hand. We need to say hi. We need to embrace people who come in and welcome them into the family. Because even though we are a family, we should be a family who expects guests, and to show them the hospitality that exemplifies the heart of Jesus Christ to people who need the church. So thank you, Lord, for this morning, for the reminder of what it means for us to extend a hand and to simply say hi. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, please stand with us as we close our service in song.